Word of mouth. This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Coming up, belters, bumpers, and bunnies. America catches on to the global fervor for cricket and a home for wayward academics, an innovative idea for putting newly minted PhDs to good use. Plus, bath salts, not of the Calgon Take Me Away variety, are off-the-shelf hallucinogenics motivating horrible crimes worthy of a zombie movie. But first, psychopathy on the spectrum. You may have heard the attention-grabbing stat that 10% of people working on Wall Street are psychopaths. That alarming number ignores the idea that psychopathic behavior exists on a continuum. Or so says our guest, Dr. Ronald Shouten. He's professor of psychiatry at Harvard Medical School and director of the Law and Psychiatry Service at Mass General. He estimates that one in 100 individuals could be diagnosed as manipulative, potentially violent individuals lacking feelings of remorse or empathy, but that a great many more fall just short of that clinical checklist. Shouten is co-author of Almost a Psychopath. It's one of a series exploring the spectrum of behavioral and physical disorders. The book did come out last week, and Dr. Shouten, I guess, couldn't make it to WGBH. So where are you, on the Mass Pike or something, doctor?
No. Hi, Virginia. Thanks for having me on. Good afternoon. I am pulled over to the side of the road, so you don't have to hear the rain drumming on my roof and the windshield washers going.
And you're safe. That's good. So let's first get a handle on this Almost Effect series. Almost an Alcoholic was the first release. Almost a Psychopath last week. What's the almost mean here?
The idea here is that there are what we call in medicine subsyndromal or subclinical conditions where people have significant symptoms, but they don't add up to a complete diagnosis. And many people tend to think in black and white, either I have this condition or I don't. But in fact, there's lots of distress, there's lots of pain and suffering and disturbance that goes on well below that situation where people meet the full criteria.
Which qualities determine a diagnosis of psychopathy? And if so, what makes almost psychopathic fall short of the mark?
Psychopathy is an extreme form of antisocial personality disorder. It tends to be measured in most cases clinically by something called the Hare Psychopathy Checklist. It has 20 different items on it. People get a score of 0, 1, or 2 on each of the items. And if you score in the 30 to 40 range, you're considered to be a psychopath.
So some of the items might be?
Sure. Some of the items, conning and manipulative behavior, extreme risk-taking, lack of remorse, lack of empathy, pathological lying, parasitic lifestyle, promiscuity, along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
And what an almost psychopath, you know, a person who is almost a psychopath, may have any or all of those symptoms, but they're less pervasive, they're less frequent, and less intense. So they tend to have maybe a smattering of those as opposed to the number that would give them a diagnosis of psychopathy.
I suppose all of us are capable of being grandiose or maybe shallow at times. Is the difference that some carry through on it and some don't, or is it about degree?
It's about degree. It's also about whether people, as you point out, act out on it. You know, people may have an exaggerated sense of self, but they don't inflict that upon others.
The book uses fictionalized scenarios and characters to demonstrate almost psychopathy. We get Bill and Greta, I'm thinking of, their co-worker, Sammy, the kid who bit his parents, Lucas, the almost psycho husband. What makes him almost a psychopath?
Well, for Lucas, who is a, you know, academic, entrepreneur, inventor, upper middle class fellow, it's the way he manipulates and abuses his wife. He cons her. His pathological narcissism, it's all about him, his lack of tolerance for attention to her.
You offer some ways to determine if someone that we know might be like a Lucas or is almost a psychopath. What are some of the signs to look for?
Well, we look for the same sort of things, again, but in less to a lesser degree that we look at in full-blown psychopathy. So is the person glib and superficial in their interactions? Do they have difficulty experiencing deep emotions like love, even depression? Conning, manipulative behavior, pathological lying, and taking advantage. You know, the sort of situation is people are in a relationship, whether it's a personal relationship or a business relationship, and they find that they're the one providing all the support, both financial and personal, and the other person contributes nothing.
Mm-hmm. So once I'm pretty sure that I've got a coworker or a sibling or a child that might be a psychopath, what do I do?
Depends on which of those situations we're dealing with, but for all of them, it's a matter of keeping track of what your impressions are. You know, there's this notion of being gaslighted, and because some of these folks are so capable at manipulating and conning others, they may make you feel like you're the one who's confused and that you're the one who has the problem. So it's good to sort of jot these concerns down, to check them out with other people. Once you're convinced, as you say, if it's a child, then talk to your pediatrician, talk to your school folks about the situation with your child. If you're at work, you might talk to other coworkers and the head of HR. If it's another aspect of your relationship, such as a spouse or a boyfriend or girlfriend, again, good to talk with friends and maybe to get some help from a mental health professional.
Dr. Ronald Shelton's with us. He's professor of psychiatry at Harvard Medical School. And we're talking about his new book, Almost a Psychopath, which helps identify if you or if someone you know might have problems with manipulation or maybe a lack of empathy that falls just short of the diagnosis of psychopathy, but nonetheless deeply troubling or problematic. Well, as you point out, there's not a lot of proven treatment for psychopathy.
For full-blown psychopathy, the results are not at all encouraging. However, for people who are almost psychopaths, one of the things we talk about is the importance of using a differential diagnosis approach like we do in the rest of medicine to sort out whether these behaviors are maybe the product of something else that is more treatable. And so in those cases, it is a bit more encouraging.
How prevalent are almost psychopaths in our society? It does seem like the definition could contain a lot of people.
It does contain a lot of people, and the estimates are up to perhaps 15% of the population.
We did see that figure, and many people heard that figure, 10% of people working on Wall Street are psychopaths. What do you think of that number?
We actually had a blog piece in the Harvard Business Review where we had some questions about that. Actually, it's based on a misinterpretation of another study that was done about psychopathy in the general corporate world and applied it mistakenly to Wall Street in particular.
The book's subtitle is, Do I or Does Someone I Know Have a Problem with Manipulation and Lack of Empathy? How likely is it that an almost psychopath would pick up this book, recognize themselves, and take action?
We're hopeful. It is possible. The more extreme people are in terms of their psychopathic traits, the less likely they are to recognize that they have a problem. However, since we're talking about people who fall along the continuum, they may be sufficiently motivated, and especially if they're in a relationship that matters to them, to take some action and address these things.
Does gender play a role in psychopathy or near psychopathy?
It does. It's a great question. In general, more males are diagnosed with psychopathy than females. That would tend to be the case as well for people who fall along the spectrum. However, we raised the point in the book, as others have in other research, that there's a bit of gender bias in how people interpret some of these behaviors. There's a tendency to diagnose women, for example, with borderline personality disorder, and yet some of those same symptoms could apply to psychopathy.
Interested, we have just a moment left, but your career sounds so interesting. You were a lawyer before you started practicing medicine and got into forensic psychiatry. Now, my guess is that do more psychopaths with these manipulative tendencies, a lot of charm, good ways of lying, do they find their way into the legal system more, or the almosts?
Oh, they full-blown psychopaths certainly find their way into law, medicine, the corporate world, even and certainly the arts. Almost psychopaths, even more so. And in fact, in many situations, those psychopathic traits may be beneficial skills. They may give them an added advantage.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. So sorry that we had to get you from the road, but really glad to talk to you.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on.
Dr. Ronald Shelton, co-author with James Silver of the new book, Almost a Psychopath. Now, Shelton is a professor of psychiatry at Harvard Medical School and director of the Law and Psychiatry Service at Mass General Hospital. You can find a link to more about the book and the whole Almost Effects series at our empathetic, frequently remorseful, and all-around good-natured website, wordofmouthradio.org.